the baker, Angela, and I know. Should have married Angela just 20 years ago. Her father was a baker, his name was Uncle Sam. Never shall forget her, no matter where I am. So she can't do hard work, cause she is all stout. She makes the biscuits every day and pours the coffee out. Angeline Baker, Angeline I know. Should have married Angeline just 20 years ago. Angeline Baker, age of 43. Fed her sugar candy and she still won't marry me. Bought my love a brand new dress, neither black nor brown. But the color of stormy skies before the rain came down. 16 horses in my pack, leader he was blind. Dreamed that I was dying, till I saw Angeline. Angeline Baker, Angeline I know. Should have married Angeline just 20 years ago. Angeline Baker, Angeline I know. Should have married Angeline just 20 years ago.
Hello.
love. Hey, hey, hey.
Okay, let's go with that.
Like it? Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Highlands United Methodist Church. This is one of those great days I get to remind you that the church is not a building, because we're sure not in it. And yet here we are. The church is gathered, and I'm so grateful to get to be with all of you this morning. My name is Brad Lorvik. I'm one of the ministers on staff here at Highlands United Methodist Church. And welcome to the Big Tent and Bluegrass Sunday. This is easily one of the most anticipated Sundays of the year. It's a chance to be outside, and the weather couldn't be better. That gentle breeze rolling through, the shade of the tent, and of course, our wonderful guest, Thunder and Rain. Thank you guys for being with us. I don't know if any of you were ever in a band. Maybe some of you were. But inviting a band to show up early on a Sunday morning is a tall order. And you guys do it each and every year with us and for us and just bring amazing music into the space, and we're grateful. And we'll get to say another word about them in a few minutes. I do want to let you know that we hope you'll make yourselves comfortable. There are a few seats still available. Of course, there's always seats up front. I know you're like, really? Really? Folks, if you'll sort of just keep an eye, if you see people needing a spot and there's a couple next to you, just sort of wave to them and tell them I got two or three of them over here. Just help people feel comfortable as they're wandering in. And then in just a moment, the coffee cups will arrive. We have the coffee made. We realized we didn't have enough ones for outside, so Krista made a stop by to pick up some compostable ones for us. They'll be in the back. I will let you know when that happens. You can feel free to get up and go get some coffee anytime during the service. Please, make yourself at home. We do have the compost bin and the trash bin. If it's a paper product of any kind, you can throw it right in that big green bin, and we'll make sure it's composted. We have some other great things going on today. It is Bike to Church Sunday. I've seen a lot of strollers and wheels locked up there at the bike racks. Following worship, we're going to take two little roll and stroll kind of activities. For those who'd like something a little shorter, we'll be heading over to the Edison Playground. It's like two blocks, perfect for a strider or a stroller. And the kids will play for a little bit, and then we'll come back. The other group will head down the hill, once around Sloan's Lake and back up. We'll leave about 11:15-ish, depending on, we'll keep church on time. I'll do my best. And then we'll do that lap together and end back here to finish the ride. So now we got some wonderful things going on there. I also want to remind you that next weekend, next Sunday, is actually our new and prospective member gathering. So for folks who are like, I like this place, and you're like, maybe I want to call it home, we would love to talk to you about that. So we're inviting you over to Megan's and my home to have a little brunch after church next Sunday and learn what it means to be a member of the church. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek. There are no special privileges that come along with being a member of this church. You don't get anything extra by becoming a member of the church. We already love you. You're already welcome to call this place home no matter what the paperwork says. But we invite you to think about calling this place home in a new way. So those are some wonderful things that are going on. After worship, we got the bike to church time. We also have some coffee and snacks for you. But we'll take a minute now. Find someone you haven't met before. Find someone you haven't seen in a while, and let's greet each other.
Pete went to Philmont.
Nice.
That was a big part. That's what made him play mandolin.
I did my track maybe 98 or 99, somewhere in there. It's been a while.
Hi, nice to see you guys.
I'm enjoying the spot if you will be. My dad went with me, and I'd love to see you.
Totally
awesome. This is my only big belt buckle. Yep.
I
invite you to make your way back towards your seats, knowing that there will, of course, be lots of time to chat after worship as well.
I don't know what it's going to be. This thing, I don't know about that thing. It can be more trouble than the first few times.
You can EQ it right though. Get it working. We haven't talked about that.
At this time, I'd love to invite our acolytes to bring the light into us this morning, reminding us that God's Spirit is present wherever we are gathered.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. And rise as you're able. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, come and know the grace of God. Sing songs, hear the good word, experience God's message, that we have received God's perfect love. For it is freely given, and we are all recipients. So we offer our thanks and praise. Let us celebrate the life-changing gift as we come together in worship. You'll find the hymn, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken," in your bulletin.
Well, there are loved ones in the glory whose dear form to often miss. And I love your earthly story. Will you join them in their bliss? Will the circle be unbroken by and by? Is a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. In the joyous days of childhood, of they told of wondrous love, pointed to the dying Savior. Now they dwell with Him. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. You remember songs of heaven which you sang with childish voice. Do you love the hymns they taught you, or the songs of earth your choice? Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Is a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky? Well, you can picture happy gatherings round the fireside long ago, and you think of tearful partings when they left you. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Is a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky? One by one their seats were empty.
Grab a seat if you would.
We'll actually invite all the children to come down forward for children's time with Mr. Brandon. And don't worry, we're not going to make you sit on the asphalt, kiddos. Don't worry about that part. In fact, we're going to send you out to do some work.
So before we go out and do our Kids for Change, I did want to talk to you a little bit about something that we hear a lot each Sunday. And we hear a lot about community. And one of the best ways to be a part of our community is being literally out in the community, like we're doing right now, having service outside. So if you think about what you bring, we all bring different wonderful things in our life. Some of us are very outgoing. Some of us are kind of shy. Some of us can dance really well. Some of us can write really well. We all bring such a different, very important thing into our own community. Now, I want to show you an example of this. So the band is up here, and I'm going to have one of the band members play a line of their music, and it's going to sound really cool. Then another band member is going to play a line of their music, and you're going to see that it takes a community to create something really beautiful. All right, so let's just give it a try and see. Sounds pretty cool, right? Just wait till you add something to that. Sounds even better, right? Now they're going to add something else to it. Everyone's doing their part. And then finally, listen to this. So if we all do our part in the community, we can create something beautiful, just like this. Thank you, guys. So today is also the second Sunday of the month, which is Kids for Change. So we're going to go out and collect any loose coins, any dollar bills that one may have. And all this money that you guys raise goes towards Family Promise. And if you don't have a bucket, we can share. Perfect. All right, so we can walk and collect any loose coins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One, two,
want to start making your way back, we can place the buckets right where we found them. All right, guys, let's start making our way back. So we're going to say a prayer together. And just a quick note to parents, we do not have Sunday school today. All the kids are welcome to stay outside. However, we do have nursery available. So that is Jasmine and Abby are waiting if you'd like to take your kids at any point to the nursery. So will you guys say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for giving me the courage to play my part. May I go out into the world and share my part with everyone. And may I always remember that you love me. Amen. And since we're outside, let's say the children's motto a little louder than we would if we were inside. we're not going to scream, but let's say it a little louder than normal. Ready?
In all that we sing, in all that we sing, in all that we sing, your Lord
is here. Amen. So you guys can go take a seat back with your family once again, or there is nursery available.
As we come to a time of special music, I do want to, again, just say a word of thanks and welcome to Thunder and Rain. You guys have been with us every single year we've done this. You've joined us at Christmas at different times. We see you throughout the year.
We wouldn't miss it.
And I do invite you to find them on Facebook, follow along. They have wonderful gigs locally. They're based out of Golden. They're our neighbors, they're our friends, and we're so grateful to hear your music again today. As we come to a time of prayer this morning, I invite you, we're going to take a moment, rather than going around and raising hands like we usually do inside,
We're going to take a moment with some cues for moments of prayer. I'll invite you to think about things in your own life, things in our community, things in the world. Certainly there is a lot to keep in prayer. Natural disaster-wise, it's been a rough run. We have flooding down south. We have hurricanes in the southeast, earthquakes down in Mexico, and over 1 million acres burned in Montana alone as the greater Northwest is aflame. So know that we carry much in prayer this morning. But I invite you to join me then. I'll invite us to think about some different things we might hold in prayer. Then I'll invite us to sing and close us in pastoral prayer. But let's take a nice deep collective breath and think about the places in our own life that we would ask God to be present. We think about friends and family in need of prayer. We think about our neighbors, our community, and our city. We think of the ways our country needs prayer. We think about those around the world, this global village we call home, and the many needs for prayer. We hold these prayers and so many more, not only in our hearts, but in our collective work as your people, O God, as we seek to take time to be holy.
To be holy, speak up with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in
God, we take this time to be holy, that all our time might be. God, we give thanks for the life that is happening all around us. It is far too easy on a Sunday morning to come inside of walls and stained glass and think that what we're doing is the only thing happening in the world. We give thanks for the many lives all around us, the hustle and bustle, the life that we live each and every day, and the reminder that you are present in the midst of it. You don't wait for Sunday morning. You don't wait for us to walk inside certain doors, light certain candles, or sing certain songs. For you, O God, meet us where we are. You are present and real in our midst each and every day. We ask for the wisdom and the courage to live that way, to live as if you are always with us, around us, within us, and among us, that we might tend to the needs of the world. For in the silent reflection of this community today, O God, there was much brought before you. There are so many lives in need of healing, be that of body or of spirit. There are so many relationships in need of mending. There are so many structures and systems that need perfecting. And there are so many people in this world right now, God, cowering in fear, be that of natural disaster or man-made disaster. And so we ask that you would help us to be your people and presence, not simply on a Sunday morning under a tent, but in each and every day as we seek to live the way Jesus taught, just as we pray his words now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, the glory forever. Amen. We remain seated for our next hymn. Just a Closer Walk with Thee is found in your bulletin. Let us sing together.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden tears? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, Lord, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Now, often sometimes there's special opportunities to experience things with a band. This evening, the band gets a special opportunity to experience things with the crowd.
Yeah.
I know there's like two seats over there, and there's like one seat over there. We'll find you some space, okay? But please make yourselves comfortable. Ah, it's good to get to do this. I love this Sunday. So, what do Methodists believe? I get asked this question a lot. Hey, Brad, what do Methodists believe? And it's usually by people who want like a 30-second answer. The United Methodist Church is a global denomination with more than 7 million members in the U.S. and another 5.5 million some members throughout Africa, Asia, the Philippines, and across Europe. Amongst those nearly 13 million some members, let alone all the people who even attend that may not be members. It's a big, big number. There are millions and millions of answers to that question. I might be as bold to say as there are as many answers to the question, what do Methodists believe, as there are Methodists. And that's one of the reasons I am. You see, United Methodists believe a lot of things. An important reason for this is that the United Methodist Church is known as what is a non-creedal church. You see, throughout history of Christianity, during moments of disagreement and times of struggle over identity, there have been large groups, usually of white men sitting around a table, who have tried to articulate what Christians believe. For example, the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Now, if you didn't grow up with these in your if you didn't have these in your upbringing, you may recognize the names of those things, but not necessarily what they are. But if you did grow up with them, all I need to say is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and chances are, a part of your brain just went into autopilot, completing the rest of that memorized section. But the United Methodist Church doesn't force a creed upon its people. Now, being non-creedal doesn't exclude creeds from being used in worship. Lots of Methodist churches include them in weekly worship. What being non-creedal means is that there's no statement you must agree with to be a part of the United Methodist Church. Now, we do ask questions when people join the church. There are some membership questions. Ours here at Highlands have been adapted even further to really fit who we are. But the general questions of membership cover broad topics, things like believing in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, resisting evil in the world, supporting your community and your congregation. But even with questions like this, there is no litmus test of dogma. Well, do you believe these exact things? If not, I'm sorry, you can't be here. And this idea of being non-creedal, of not forcing dogma upon people, traces its roots back to John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. For those of you listening on the internet, I just held up my John Wesley bobblehead. Now, this idea of John Wesley being so open to these pieces, one of the great Wesleyan historians who knew Wesley better than anybody put it this way. John Wesley was certainly opinionated and partisan himself, with a stubborn loyalty to what he understood to be the essential core of Christian truth. But he also agreed with others who had come before him that the most cruel controversies in religion, the ones that had spilled so much blood and ink, were simply quarrels about opinions. Blood and ink spilled in quarrels about opinions. This is why so many people have problems with the church and with Christianity. And it's actually the core of a lot of my problems with the church and Christianity as well. And John Wesley was actually only addressing the ways that Christians hurt each other. That statement about his perspective on this doesn't even include the blood and ink used to attack those of other traditions, beliefs, and identities. Again, the reason so many people rightfully have problems with the church and with Christianity. I tell you, Jesus did not live and die and live again so that people would hurt others in his name. The man who taught us to love our neighbor did not want us working hard to exclude people. The humble man who said the first shall be last and the last shall be first did not want Christians sanctimoniously clamoring over who follows him the best. That wasn't Jesus. And John Wesley recognized this. Creating space for differences in opinion does not mean John Wesley was wishy-washy in his own beliefs. Quite the opposite, as that Wesleyan historian notes for us once again. John Wesley had a clear enough view for himself of the Christian essentials, but never ever tried to formulate them into an unrevisable statement. The thing that I find so powerful about this is that phrase, he had a view that was clear enough for himself. John Wesley spent every day of his adult life desperately seeking God, trying to know the love of Jesus in a real, experienceable way, but not so he could force it on other people. He wanted to know it for himself, which is what having other opinions around was very helpful for. You see, whether he agreed with someone or disagreed with someone, he wanted to be in conversations that would help him shape and grow his own beliefs. John Wesley was one in a long line of theologians who found power in that ancient statement, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. One of my favorite sermons John Wesley ever preached is on this very topic. His sermon is entitled, The Catholic Spirit. Now, he was using Catholic as an adjective to mean universal. He wasn't talking about the Roman Catholic Church. The universal spirit was something John Wesley believed God called all people to, especially the people called Methodist, that God called all of us to live a universal spirit. He looked at scriptures like 1 John 4, where it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of love. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. When he would share these verses, John found that no one disagreed with that statement of Scripture in theory. Oh, of course, we should love one another. And then he looked at the lived experience of those very same people and found things to be quite the contrary. He found the problem was, and I love this quote, first, people can't all think alike. And in consequence of this, secondly, people can't all walk alike. We think differently, and we walk through life in our own ways. I find it refreshing to hear this acknowledged in a sermon. John Wesley was incredulous that differences in thought and life were keeping people from loving each other. He knew that nothing should keep us from loving one another. In response, he offered and uttered one of my favorite sayings. He looked at the people around him and said, "May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion?" This great quote and powerful question came not just from his personal longing, but like everything for John Wesley, it came from the scriptures. You see, being the Bible moth that he was, John would preach from scriptures that never made it to other pulpits. People usually sort of hit the greatest hits, and that was sort of its thing. No, no, no. John dug deep into scriptures nobody even thought about using. In one sermon, this one on the universal spirit, he preached from 2 Kings chapter 10. To catch you up on what's been going on in the book of 2 Kings, there's been a long conflict-ridden history between two men seeking prominence in the land at the time. You have Jehu and you have Jehonabab, and they're in this conflict involving armies and violence and beheadings. It's this crazy midst of violence and things when we encounter these two men meeting each other in person for the first time. Hear the scripture. "And when he was departed..." Oh, by the way, I'm reading from the original King James translation that John Wesley would have used. I don't use that very often. "And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonabad, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him, and he said to him, 'Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart?' And Jehonabad answered, 'It is.' 'Well, if it be, give me thine hand.' And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot, and they went on together." Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? Or in a more contemporary translation, are you as committed to me as I am to you? There will certainly be questions and discussions after the opening invitation. There will undoubtedly be disagreements and conflict, but before any real conversation, before any true learning and growing can take place, there must be relationship. For John Wesley, the idea of our hearts being right with one another was rooted in our shared love for God. You know, his sermon goes on to outline what he believed to be the core of the Christian faith, that whole in essentials unity piece. The essentials that united Christian people for him universally were things like the love of God and Jesus, a faith filled with energy of love, a desire not to do thine own will, but God's will, a willingness to serve your neighbor without fear, that we would all show love through our actions. These were the things that made our hearts right with one another. These are what John Wesley believed tied us together. As we laid out this sermon series on Methodism, it was almost by accident that I was like, well, this is the week we'll talk about this concept of Methodism having a lot of space for a lot of people. It's traditionally known as the big tent of Methodism. And then I looked at the calendar and I was like, yes, we're going to be under a big tent talking about the big tent. I actually sort of shouted it with that much enthusiasm. The office manager can attest to it. Because United Methodism is a big tent. Now, I'm going to use some political examples, not to get political, but because there are at least some benchmarks we all understand. Allow me to share with you a few folks that call the United Methodist Church home. People like George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton. Elizabeth Warren and Jeff Sessions. All of these people sit in Methodist pews. We're a big tent. These are just a few of the examples of the breadth of opinion that has sat in the pews and chairs, in the sanctuaries and in the fields the United Methodist Church has called home. And as hard as it can be to have people of such varying opinion under the same tent, I believe it's good for us. It pushes us to talk about areas of difference. It creates space for growing and learning. It holds us accountable to one another and how we live and how we talk about each other. It's hard to talk about an us and a them when it's an us in one space together. As the United Methodist Church faces decisions about its future, there are plenty of people who want to divide the denomination up into little groups that all agree with each other on a variety of issues. And mind you, these are issues that I have very strong opinions about. But I do not believe it's time to make tiny tents, insulating ourselves from those who think and walk differently. Because that would deny the love that connects us all. It would keep us from growing deeper in God's love. Our big Methodist tent has created space for all of us to think and walk, not in perfect uniformity, but to think and walk in unity together in God's love. You see, this day, every day, we are invited to come and live and worship and grow underneath a very big tent that has space for us all. Amen. I'd love to invite the band back up so we can share in Amazing Grace together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and face my fears released. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. blind, but now I see.
At Highlands United Methodist Church, our unique spin on the idea of a big tent is building a home where all belong. That's something we seek to do each and every day through all of our ministries and the ways we serve the community and the world. If you would help me reflect prayerfully on what it means to contribute in many ways to that vision, our offertory prayer is found in your bulletin. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more, who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen.
I'll run with you. It's a small town game you're gonna lose. If you're keeping up with all they did, it's a life you've led since you were a kid. Well, Mama's been talking, she's on your case. She says that you're too comfy in the same old place. She will shed a tear as you break the news. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Swing me down across the wooden floors. Every bar and every state you've never been before. You and I is all we need. Nothing more to do. Take my hand and I'll run. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Late at night, I have the same old dream. We find a new way out of the same old thing. I never steer you wrong, never turn you loose. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Take me down across the wooden floors of every bar and every state you've never been before. You and I is all we need. Nothing take my hand and I'll run with you. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Can't stand the way talk circulates. Can't do nothing you can get away with. You look on your mama's face, her only bite is going away with me. Swing me down across the wooden floors of every bar. All we need, nothing more to do. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Take my hand and I'll run with you. Whoa, take my hand and I'll run with you.
I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our doxology together a cappella this morning under the tent. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please join me in your sending prayer found in your bulletin. We give you thanks, God, for what has happened in our time together this morning. In the things seen and things unseen, your grace has been at work in, through, and with each of us. Once again, we find ourselves blessed. Be with us now as we accept the invitation and blessing in the world as we leave this place. Amen.
Before we get to our final hymn, I'll Fly Away, which is on the back, I do want to invite you to help me express some gratitude to the band this morning. Now, I know them, and we deal with this every single year. They're very polite and respectful of our worship service, and they don't want to be seen hawking CDs in church. I, however, speaking as someone who has every album they've made and a t-shirt, am happy to tell you they've got wonderful music available. Their new album comes out in November, but did you say you have copies now? They have a couple. I'll be in line. But do make sure to get a chance to shake their hand and thank them for being with us. And if you're enjoying the music, please take some home. Let's enjoy I'll Fly Away.
Thank you for having us year after year.
Ready?
Amen. As much as those songs we sing today speak about something one someday, we know that today is that day. We need not die to fly away into God's grace and glory and share it with the world. So as you leave this place, do so today that we might fulfill God's dream of love for all people. I hope you'll join us for a bike ride after church. Amen.
Amen.